fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my wife, Debbie, who began yesterday to share with us some key themes that she communicates to young women, mothers, women's days, days of prayer, that I think touch all of our lives. The tension between being and doing in the Christian life, the Mary and Martha sort of tension that's in our lives, because both are an important part of who we are and who we're called to be in Christ. And so I've asked Debbie to come in and share a little bit more in detail what it is she's sharing with others. So welcome back, Deb.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Do you want to summarize just a little bit what we talked about yesterday?
Sure. I think what I was starting to reflect on is that there really are two fundamental keys to really step into that reality in our lives. And the first one, which we talked about yesterday, was really learning to know who we are and where we draw our identity from. It's not from our accomplishments, the external things, how well we do with things, what we look like, all the things that we kind of struggle with and strive at sometimes. It really is learning to know who we are and receiving that identity from the Lord. And I think that's hard to do. It's easier to actually run out and do than it is to receive that. But I think it's really important. And so we talked a bit about that and what that looks like, especially for women. I love this quote by St. Therese. She said, "I need the glance of my divine Savior." What she's trying to communicate is that I need to allow Jesus to look at me in order to really see in myself what he sees in me. And I think it takes me right back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve don't want to be seen by the Lord. They don't want God to look at them. They actually hide from God. And I think many of us, I know myself, are in a hiding mentality a lot of times. And I think the doing, doing, doing is often a hiding mentality. We don't want to stop long enough to let ourselves be seen by the Lord, certainly by others, because I know my own life, there's been a lot of shame and a lot of ways that I don't want others to see me. I don't want God to look at me. But the reality is we need to do that so that God can really tell us the thing our heart longs to hear, and that is that you are loved, you're accepted, you're loved no matter what, you love even when you fail, you're loved even when you sin. That is hard toward us is not to push us away, it's really to draw us close. And so I think we need to stop long enough to let the Lord look on us and to really see us so we don't buy into the serpent's lie anymore that says, is God really good? Can he really be trusted?
Why do you think it's so hard to see ourselves as being unconditionally loved?
I think it's because we do have a lot of shame in our lives that says to us time and time again, that lie that you are what you've done, not that what you've done is objectively wrong and that you are a beloved child of God, but you are the very thing that you've done. That's the voice of shame that speaks to us. And so we want to run and we want to hide from that gaze.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus brought unconditional love into the world, the agape, the amazing love of God. And it's not something that's in the world. We live in a fallen world, a broken world. And very few of us, I mean, some have been blessed in their lives growing up, having amazing parents or other things that just had a tremendous capacity to love unconditionally. I think most people have been in and out of that, maybe had moments of experiencing that. Maybe some listening don't remember any moments of that. Maybe it was all conditional based on performance or based on how your parents wanted you to look or be or whatever it might be. And so it's difficult to believe it because there's something deeply ingrained in us, both in the fallenness of our own nature, the battle with our own identity, which is right where the devil goes after us, right? And the fall, we also know that we've all failed in different ways. And so the devil doesn't want us to ever forget that. He seduces us, leads us into it. And then he spends all his time reminding us of it all the time. And so he gets us to the point where he wants us to be convinced that we can't be loved in some way and that God wouldn't love us, just like other people don't love us. God couldn't love us either. What you're saying here in kind of these thoughts you're sharing with us is that that's broken by our union with Christ. And being able to, as Therese said, be able to receive his gaze. It's a different gaze than the conditional gaze of the world, right?
Yeah, it's really a gaze that when we allow it to penetrate us, it really purifies us. It really adorns us with beauty. We have such a human understanding of who God is. And I think we feel like when God looks at us, He's saying, not yet, or not quite, or not enough. But what he's saying is, you're complete, because he sees us in the eternal now. He sees us as we will be someday in glory, and how he's created us to be. And we just can't fathom that. And so I think we limit our understanding of who we are based on our very limited understanding of who God is.
Yeah. Remember that as a parent, there's an important analogy that maybe can help people think about God's gaze. Think about the gaze you had on your own baby, your own child, or your grandchild. We have grandchildren now. And the joy that we experience just being with our grandchildren and seeing them. And it does feel like we just unconditionally love them. There's so much that flows out of us. And the parenting is the same thing. And moms, think about the time you gazed, at times holding your own child in the quiet of your home after feeding your child, just gazing into the eyes of your child with so much love. I mean, there's nothing in you at that moment that's worried about anything. You just love them. And that's how God looks at us. That's the kind of gaze of just joy and the feeling of it's good that you exist. You know, you're God's idea. And when a mother looks at a child, it's so good, honey, that you exist. You don't necessarily use those words, but that's the feeling that you have, the amazement and the love that pours forth from your heart. That's really how God looks at us too. And to be able to receive that and accept that.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's really a gaze of hope. I mean, even with our own children, and we certainly did not raise perfect children, and even in the most difficult times when they were struggling or they weren't being who we thought they needed to be, it was still a gaze of hope. Like, I know within you, you have what it takes to be the person that God's created you to be. And I can say, hands down, one of the most amazing things about my job, my ministry, is to watch young women come into the knowledge and understanding of how loved they are, of how God sees them, to really encounter the love of Christ and to grow in that confidence and to walk confidently in that and then be able to give that away. They've grasped something because they've allowed themselves to be seen by the Lord and to receive their identity from him.
Yeah. So the two keys, again, are the first one is knowing who we are, knowing our identity. And the second key is?
The key to learning how to be, and the second way, is learning how to receive.
Okay.
And this, I think, is the most important yet often the most difficult part of the Christian life, not just for women, but for men, for everyone, is that learning how to receive. And I think it's important to remember that to be a Christian isn't about fulfilling, you know, a set of tasks, a list of things to do. It's about welcoming through faith the immense gift offered to us in God. You know, and it's a reception. It's not a doing. It's not an earning. It's not checking off a list. It means to really receive in our hearts, with all the limitations and the weaknesses, the richness of the Father's love for us. And receiving really is, I think, the most fundamental act of the spiritual life, but sure is hard to do.
Yeah. Why is it so hard?
I think because part of the reception is that we have to admit that we're creatures who are dependent on a creator, certain level of humility that takes to be able to do that, that we need saving. And that's hard, I think, for everyone to admit that there's something fundamental we cannot bring to ourselves that we need to receive from somebody else. So I think really the spiritual life is not so much about doing, but as Mary said, let it be done unto me. About letting something be done to us, letting God act in us and through us. As women, we are called constantly to give and to give and to give. But in order not to grow exhausted or bitter or disillusioned, it's really necessary to learn how to receive first and foremost from the Lord, and then as an extension of that, to learn how to receive from those around us.
Our Lady's obviously a great example, but the scripture talks about how she pondered things in her heart. She took things in, and she was living with the Lord, not only physically with the Lord, but also the calling on her life. She pondered it, she contemplated it, and she was living with God, the Father, who was leading her into this amazing work of being the Mother of God.
Yeah, she's the ultimate example of the reception of God's Spirit in her life that brought forth so much fruitfulness. So there really are some characteristics, I think, that allow us to be in that mode of receptivity that, again, require the balance of doing and being. The first, I think, is really prayer. And it's not just occasional prayer. It's not just calling out to God when we're needy, but it's persevering in prayer. I have this immense honor and privilege of working for the church, working for the Lord. But sometimes I can relate to God like he's my boss and I'm his employee, that I go to him in prayer to get my marching orders. I go to him in prayer to get good content for a talk. I go to him in prayer to bring before him the young women that I'm serving, instead of just going to be with him, just to spend time with him. I'm not receiving something from him because he's a vending machine where I'm pushing the buttons, but I'm just going to be with him. And that's because what it is, it's about a relationship. It's about companionship. It's about sharing in life together. It's about thanking him for the beautiful things and calling on him when I'm facing difficulties. It's about nourishing my relationship with him through conversation. So I think we can go to him because we need things instead of going to him as a friend, as a lover, as, you know.
Yeah. So two questions I want to ask you. If there's maybe a young mother who's listening and saying, I've got two or three kids at home, I'm going all the time. How do you even find time for prayer? And then once I get there, how do I be while I'm there?
Yeah, I think it's learning in the midst of our situations. And we have very different seasons of life where prayer is going to look different for us. I think there's a story of John Wesley, whose mother had how many kids was it?
22 kids.
Yeah. And she homeschooled them. And there's a great story of her just at a certain point of the day, she would just kind of, I think, throw like a shawl or something over her. Did you hear the story?
No.
And her kids would know this is her time with the Lord. Whether it was 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, she would just find that time. This is a mother of 22 homeschooling them to pray and to be with the Lord. So we have to find what works for us. The point is to find time, even in the midst of busyness of life, to draw our hearts and minds away so that we can really be with him, whether it's 5 minutes before we begin our day, whether it's taking some quiet time in the evening. Many times I was nursing a baby in a chair and just taking time to kind of center my mind and my heart on the Lord.
I think this is a place where a husband can be of help too, to say, you know what, it's really, really important for my wife, for my family, for our relationship, for the kids, that in your case, Debbie has some time each day where she's just alone with the Lord. So if I need to get up early enough to help get breakfast to the kids and she gets 20 minutes on her own, or when I come home from work or whatever it is, trying to find time where she can just step away, close a door, get quiet, pray, read scripture, whatever, to be able to have that time to commune with the Lord, to get her battery restored spiritually.
Absolutely. And I know I get the struggle. Like, I know there's just so much going on. But the reality is we find time for the things that we love the most. And so for finding time for scrolling through, you know, an Instagram feed, we can find time to be with the Lord and to take time away. And so I think it's really important, the perseverance in prayer. We need to be with the Lord in order to receive. It's just very simple.
Yeah, and it's a tension for absolutely everybody. Some people are more maybe ordered to it. Their life makes it a little bit easier to happen. But men are the same way. I mean, we're busy, we're doers, we're going, and you can go 3-4 days without getting any kind of prayer time menu. But it's crucial to build the habit of that prayer and help each other as a couple to build that habit and say, this is a non-negotiable for us. We're going to work hard together to make this work because we know our communion with the Lord and one another is the ground. There's a lot more to this, Deb. Can you join us again tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah, we're just scratching the surface, friends. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.